Hello and welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host, Jacob Granger. Today, we're talking about what it truly means to serve a community and how a community-first approach can help to scale a news operation. One thing we've seen lately is a rise of news organisations on the newsletter subscription platform Substack. One of those is Local Authority, a two-man outfit reporting on the area of Medway, a borough of five towns in Kent. It's found a passionate following of 4.5 free and 400 paying subscribers. But that's only enough to keep founders Ed Jennings and Stephen Keevil doing it part-time. Today, they'll tell me about the plan to go full-time by launching a second county-wide Substack newsletter. That will help them scrutinise a bunch of sweeping changes to local government that are about to come in. Changes that many in the community will feel strongly about and will need to be clued up on. And yes, there is an irony to naming their newsletter Local Authority. Don't worry, we'll pick up on that later on. Don't go anywhere. Stephen, Ed, welcome both to the journalism.co.uk podcast. A pleasure to have you both on the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Listen, I'm really excited to speak to you both because you have launched a really interesting Substack-based news operation in the Medway Towns, which is where I am originally from. So a bit of a personal stake on this conversation, you could say. Take me back to the start then, Ed, if you would. Where did the vision for Local Authority come from? And what sort of work do you do?
So the original genesis of Local Authority originally dates back to around 2013 or so. I had no knowledge of journalism, no knowledge of politics, really. I just found what was happening in my local council interesting. So I started tweeting about it, and suddenly it did seem to be finding an audience locally. After doing that for a couple of years, it was Stephen that approached me at the time and suggested that we should set up a blog because Medway was approaching both local and a general election at the same time. And we set up this blog called The Political Medway, which just covered everything going on locally, politically, for about, I think it was about 4 years we did that for, Steve. And then we just reached a point where we sort of burnt out on that because it turns out doing detailed local politics blogging day in, day out for 4 years gets quite tiring and quite exhausting. So we walked away from that for a bit. And this was around the time then that I started seeing Substack newsletters popping up. I think it was around 2020, 2021, and particularly the Manchester Mail, which was the one I probably first came across and was sort of inspired by this idea that you could write about what was happening in your local area and find a way to make it more sustainable, that people can contribute to the work and make it more viable. It was just a pandemic side project, effectively. I'm just going to start writing about Medway, assuming 50 of my friends would sign up. And suddenly it just sort of ballooned into what has now become Local Authority, which is a slightly more sprawling Medway news service that covers, politics, art, culture, anything going on in our towns that's interesting, really. And just, and now we've found a larger audience and, it's somehow become an actual thing now rather than just a hobby, which it originally started off as.
What do the numbers look like at the moment? Just to begin with that, Stephen, how has this business model fared in the last few years?
Yeah, so it's been like Ed says, uptake has been really positive. There's still room for growth. I think kind of for us, sort of a big sort of mental step was when we stopped knowing in advance who the new subscribers were.
Yep.
Active strangers were signing up. So we have a free subscriber model where they get two editions a week, the Tuesday politics edition and the Friday culture edition. And that goes out to 4,500 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And then we have paid subscribers, both monthly and annual. And that's over 400 now, which is great. It's again provides that means to be able to, for us to be able to do a bit more. Like that free subscriber number, it's still just hovering around 2% of Medway. So there is still room for growth. Mm-hmm. But also, with me and Ed Monitrick, kind of we have over 15% conversion from free to paid subscribers, which from a Substack perspective is well above the average. We've never had a month where there hasn't been growth. So it's all going, it's slower than, we might be desirable, but it is still going in the right direction.
Tickety-boo. It reminds me that, you know, back in the day when I lived in Medway, I was in what was called the music scene, meaning I was in a band and we used to play some of the gigs. And in the early days, you played to just your family and friends, right? But it's nice to turn that corner and see different faces in the crowd. And I guess that's kind of, Stephen, what you're indicating there. You're starting to see people who are genuinely taking an interest in this. What do you put that down to?
Well, part of the challenge of the business model is we're inherently hitting against people who don't want to pay for the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we take, you know, kind of we are working against that. The fact that people like what we do, they see that we are challenging people that need to be challenged. We're celebrating people that need to be celebrated. We are honest about where we're coming from with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just taking press releases and rewriting them. We are kind of providing a view of the towns. You know, we can be self-deprecating. We can be, you know, but also an honesty that sometimes other outlets don't necessarily kind of go with. Yeah. No disrespect to anyone, but you know, that perspective, but also because we're not trained journalists. So there are times when we make mistakes that a trained journalist wouldn't do, but there's also, we come from a perspective that a trained journalist wouldn't have.
Trust me when I say that I understand the self-deprecating humour that comes from being in the Medway towns. Ed, give me a flavour of some of that original reporting for a moment. Like, what are you getting here on the local authority that you might not be getting elsewhere in the news offering elsewhere in the Medway towns, or indeed in the larger scope of Kent, the county?
Like, yeah, we've just had a big thing in Medway where kind of the council has spent the best half a million installing like Red Route cameras across the towns.
Yep.
And as a result of putting in a series of FOI requests to the council, we managed to break the story that, well, basically they're making no money and not catching anyone. And we don't really know how that's happening, but no other outlet has covered that story. Even now, weeks after we wrote about it, it still hasn't appeared anywhere. If you want to do effectively trusted reporting, then there is a benefit in having that time and capacity to just sit there and do things, you know, potentially waste a day trawling through data that may not actually lead to anything, just to try and find the right story.
I hear that. And Stephen, would you speak to this point for a moment? Like, why does Medway need an alternative, you know, news provider? When you think about who are the established players in the Medway town, you know, what did you see as the viable opportunity for local authority?
So one of the things that I do, for example, are these Sunday deep dive interviews where we'll spend, you know, I'll spend 45 minutes, an hour chatting to someone about their life, what they're doing in the towns, and providing that sort of long form interview. Well, other organisations just wouldn't do that unless the person was someone already of a really sort of high profile. And yet some of the people and the stories that we've then been able to find through that has been really sort of engaging and enlightening about the towns, about, you know, kind of when we first started talking about it, and there was that sort of nervous, could we take this from a monthly thing to a weekly thing? Are there enough stories? And now what we've discovered is that, well, there are too many stories, kind of like, you know, to be, you know. So I've had people who provided us really interesting interviews and backgrounds that have had to wait a year between agreeing to do the interview to us actually publishing it. But that focus has then enabled us to be able to tell stories that other people aren't telling. And then the community is engaged in that and are now actively coming to us and going, do you want to write about this? Do you want to talk about that?
Great. And I want to pick up on something else you said, Stephen, which I think is really important here. You said about the business model being freemium because, you know, in this country, we've got a pretty low percentage of people that pay for the news. But I think it's more salient in an area like Medway. And what I really want our audience to understand about Medway is that it's quite polarized in the sense that there's quite affluent areas of Medway and there's very deprived and underprivileged parts of Medway. And there's a very unequal ability there, I would say, in ability to pay for news. So having a free option versus a premium one, I think, is a very, very cogent idea in a market like Medway.
Absolutely. So one of the things we spoke about often, and we'll be speaking about again soon, is that, yeah, so there, you know, kind of there are wards or areas within Medway which are amongst some of the most deprived in the country. And yeah, and it's not, and the issue with deprivation isn't deprivation itself, it's the inequality. It's when you have areas where there is affluence, and so you get these areas of disparity when it comes to life expectancy, educational attainment, and outcomes. And how news plays into that is very much like, if you looked at a map model of where our paid subscribers are, and then you map that against deprivation data, they absolutely fit within those areas of expected affluence.
I'd love for you to dig on that a little bit deeper, Stephen. What's the overlap? I wouldn't be surprised if it's like you're getting a lot of your paid subscribers in Rainham, Hempstead, those sort of areas.
Exactly that, yeah. Kind of like, you know, and even so, and you can even map it. So within Rochester, for example,
yep,
there's almost like mini communities within Rochester where there are a number of subscribers within a very small radius of streets and roads.
Yeah.
And that the challenge with the model is not just that people don't want to pay for the news, but some people just don't read the local news. So part of our challenge now, just getting people to become the free subscribers, because our conversion rate is good. So it's actually getting, you know, finding new ways is the challenge of actually just making people aware that we do. Because any time that we go to a public event, whether it be a festival or whatever, and so, you know, and put up, you know, and let people know what we do, you know, there's still lots of people who have got no idea this existed. Once people know about us, we have very little pushback in terms of people actually going, you know, in any way considering what we're doing a bad thing. So it's just kind of continuing that that push.
Got it. So, Ed, does that make it hard to define who your community is when there is this disparity between backgrounds and wealth and this sort of thing?
Yeah, to a point it does. Sometimes we have to fight very hard to not almost just lean into the effectively the people we know who are paying for our work, if that makes sense. It's like we know that the people who pay for our work, you know, by and large are an affluent minority within Medway.
Yep.
But we can't just be writing a news service for them. We need to be writing a news service for all of Medway.
So define for me who your community is.
I mean, it's kind of a boring answer, but in the first instance, the way I view the community is just, it's just everyone in Medway. That's who we're aiming at. I mean, we know realistically we're not going to reach everyone in Medway, but we're not trying to write a specialist like premium publication for like the 3 or 4% of rich people in Medway. We are trying to write something the entire community can learn something about what is going on around them. It sounds very high-minded, but that's sort of the aim here, is that it's not about any one subset of people. It's our community, I would argue, is just entirely geographic.
So just like yourself, Jacob, having an interest in what we're doing because you're from Medway, Medway has that mental pool. So even people that have literally left Medway never quite leave Medway.
They don't.
And so we do have readers from outside of the Medway towns because, you know, because they still have that connection. And whilst that's not unique to Medway, there are many like it, but this one is ours.
But there's just so many quirks to Medway, right? Like if I said to you tap and tin, you'd know exactly what I meant in an instant, right? There are just so many quirks, and in like as you say, once you've lived here, you never truly leave, right?
And how quickly people get assumed as well. So people that weren't born here but have moved here because of work or education or because of the price of a house, how quickly they view themselves as from Medway,
mm-hmm.
You know, is a unique thing. But also, like from a, like say, with the interviews or with the cultural stuff we write a lot about people who are from the arts or from music, etc. And Medway also has a thing of, you know, only kind of embracing people who don't have too much success. If you have success, we no longer talk about you from Medway. Like you won't get anyone talking about Joe Pasquale, who's from Strood, or talking about Kelly Brook from Rochester. It's kind of like they get disowned because they become national figures. But actually other people who, you know, can be really successful in their field, but also walk down the high street and people have no idea who they are, Medway embraces that level of success.
If you want to learn more about how to scale an audience-first news operation, look no further than our next NewsRide conference on the 13th of May, 2025. We've got a fantastic session with Mill Media founder Yoshi Herman, who we've already heard about today, and Zetland editor-in-chief Leah Korsgaard, who has just launched a new title in Finland. You're also in luck, as our early bird offer is still on, meaning if you book before the 6th of February, you'll save yourself 50 quid. Head to newsride.com for the full agenda and to grab your place today. See you there. Ed, let me get to this question, which I think is pretty much at the heart of this conversation. With everything we've said here and established about who your community is, what they care about and how they, you know, what they're willing to pay for, what does it really mean to serve the Medway community in your eyes? And Stephen, I'll let you come in after Ed as well. But what does it really truly mean to you to serve your community in Medway?
That's the big question, isn't it? I think from my point of view, and again, this is going to sound horribly high-minded, but the whole point is more just, I want people to be better informed about what is going on around them. That should be a fairly simple thing, but in the news environment we've got currently, it's just not always that straightforward. Like if you go back, even in Medway, like 20, 25 years, yeah, you would have had multiple newspapers, you would have had, you know, even like decent TV reporting from the area and that, and none of that stuff exists now. So we're down to the fact there is just effectively, you know, one local news website, one local newspaper. I just don't think people are as informed as they were. And then you've got, on the other side of it, you've got social media coming in. And, you know, I think we can all accept, you know, local Facebook groups can potentially be a source of information, but often not good information.
Kind of part of the furniture at this point, aren't they, as it were?
Exactly. It's just that thing of, like, people deserve to know what is going on in their communities. And the problem is none of the traditional models in the world we're in now seem to have a way of actually delivering. And I think that is one of the big problems we face.
Stephen, anything to add?
Yeah, so I think there's kind of two aspects that to bring to this. One is being a critical friend.
Yep.
So challenging people in politics. So when we started out just kind of coming along to the council and following it, people assumed that we were Labour supporters, and then when we had a publication, we were a Labour publication. Part of that was because the Conservatives, who'd been in power for so long, just were confused about why we were there, because by their standards, we were very much young people. And also Labour, because they'd been out of power for so long, would talk to us. So there was that, but also we would challenge decisions that were being made by our MPs and by the council, and they did not like that. So they assumed that we were a Labour thing. And we always said, well, you know, give us a Labour council or a Labour MP and you'll see. And what happened? We get a Labour council or a Labour MP and we start writing stories about decisions they were making and start getting called, you know, we must be Tory shills. The other aspect we bring to this is being champions for Medway, is actually going, when good things are happening, let's talk about it. When there are people doing interesting things, let's celebrate it. To kind of get lofty, but let's go with an analogy for a second. It's all about shining light. Sometimes you're shining light, and when you're shining light into darkness, sometimes you show people things they don't want to see, and sometimes you're showing people things that they really want to see, but they never knew was there.
Yeah. I think that second point is really, really important, Stephen, because as I'm sure you know, and I know as well, being from the area, people are quite, I mean, you joked about it earlier about like self-deprecating about Medway, but people are pretty like negative about the area in terms of the living standard, the deprived areas of Medway. And I just think there is a lot to be said about the uplifting part of what you just said there about trying to, you know, champion people.
Absolutely. Like, we've come from a period where culturally the only thing that was celebrated was Dickens. And Dickens related, and, you know, and don't get me wrong, like, that should be celebrated, but it should not be the be end and end all. Actually, when you start to drill into this, it really does feel that Medway punches above its weight. I mean, whether it be musicians or artists or cultural moments, Medway has so much going on. But as a young person, you could be led to believe that there's nothing going on, that no one ever comes from Medway and manages to achieve anything, because those stories weren't told, weren't celebrated, weren't promoted. You know, Alice Osman has got Heartstopper. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the biggest sort of graphic novels and now Netflix TV series of a period. Alice Osman was from Medway. She studied at Rochester Grammar School. And yet you have no idea. Any other area would have Heartstopper merchandise all over the place, kind of going, look what happened here. Medway, nothing.
I what I hear from that more than anything is just having pride in your community, right? I think a lot of people are quite pessimistic about the Medway towns, you know, kind of see it as a place to move out of and leave behind them in the past. But as you said there, I think it is about being proud of your community and celebrating the successes and the champions that have come out of the area. So I think that really comes through nicely, Stephen.
And part of that, which is a very Medway thing, is that part of the pride in the area comes from being deprecating about it. So someone can come along and go, oh, Medway's a bit shit because X, Y, and Z. But if someone who's not from Medway says, oh, Medway's a bit shit, people go, you don't get to say that. Medway's great because of this, this, and this. We can say it, but you can't.
Okay, so what have we learned so far? Serving a community means, first and foremost, making quality information accessible to its members, in this case, the residents of the Medway towns, particularly where that information is either limited or even unappealing. It also means two more things. Being a critical friend, one that will be vocal about the decisions that affect the community, and championing success stories, making people feel proud to identify with that community. This model has so far paid dividends for local authority. Those numbers again, 4.5 thousand free subscribers and 400 paid subscribers at £6 a month, £60 a year, or a voluntary amount above £60 a year to be a super supporter. But it is time to expand. Ed and Stephen are now planning to take their Substack model countywide to cover the whole of Kent, whilst also maintaining the Medway-focused local authority newsletter as a hyperlocal title. This will help them deliver especially on that first mandate, being a critical friend, as Medway is one of many UK councils going through a local government shake-up under new Labour policies. Medway, under a proposed devolution programme, would become three or four larger unitary authorities with a newly elected mayor. Big and divisive changes are coming, lots to stay on top of, and the uptake of paid subscriptions to this countywide newsletter may also highlight other viable areas to launch a second hyperlocal title in the future. Here's Stephen for more on that.
And as we hope the Kent title grows and we're able to follow where those paid subscribers come from, then in the long term, then should there be an area of hyperlocality, whether it be Maidstone, whether it be, you know, Thanet, whatever, then there is the possibility of further growth from a hyperlocal version. With regard to our initial website, the initial newsletter, like I say, will stay hyperlocal for Medway, and then when the council grows, that will grow with it, but from that specific, like you mentioned about community, will cover the wider council because it affects Medway, but the community via the hyperlocal will stay the existing boundary of Medway.
So, Ed, what do you think that will mean for your readers? Like, what sort of topics do you think you'll be focusing on? What will they need to know as Medway goes through this change?
There's likely going to be this push towards there being the elected mayor and the process that's going to come with that. Yeah, within the next year, we are going to be looking at an election campaign for who's effectively run Kent as its first elected leader. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be getting into the wider strategic things that come with that. So, you know, the fact you will have one individual in cabinet who are effectively responsible for transport or housing policy across all of Kent. And, like, you know, they are two of our biggest issues, even now, just on a Medway level, like housing and transport come up constantly. So a new raft of powers across a much wider area
right.
is going to have quite an impact on everyone in Kent, both in Medway and beyond.
More hustings on the horizon then?
Don't know, to be honest. It depends, like, in terms of like an elected mayor of Kent, depends on how well we establish ourselves in Kent in that first year, I guess. But yeah, we are a big fan of hustings. It's something we have done since the start. Like, we think, you know, elections, people should have the right to hear directly from their candidates and challenge them directly with questions. So it is absolutely something we will try and keep doing because they are an important part of our model.
I mean, I think something that's important to kind of also recognise with this community is that in that world of being a critical friend is that there are groups of people who never got over the fact that it became a unitary authority, who never got over the fact that Rochester lost city status, who never got over the fact that Gillingham lost independence, that the peninsula got meshed into the Medway area. Like, we often talk about the Medway towns and the peninsula, and there are villages and towns which are not included in that sort of, in that collective title. So there are groups of people who are looking forward to becoming part of Kent because they'll be free of the yoke, the bureaucracy of Medway Council and the iron rule that came with it. And then there'll be other people who are already outraged, I tell you, the idea of losing Medway's identity and becoming part of some abomination with Dartford and Swale, and what could that possibly mean? And so they will be kind of, you know, up in arms. There will be a mixture of people where the whole point of this is to get rid of kind of a layer of authority. There will be arguments about whether we need town councils, which Medway has not embraced in the past, you know, because we still have parish councils. So, you know, if you're in a town, you don't have that level. There will be arguments about city status. Now, whether those arguments gain traction and become more than just five people yelling into the wind, we shall wait and see. but some of those voices never went away and they're looking forward to coming back.
Busy times ahead. Speaking of the Medway Council, if you put local authority into Google, of course the first thing you get is the Medway Council. So, two-part question for you. One, do you regret the title name of local authority? And two, what will you learn as you probably find a name for your next title?
We regret nothing.
Regret is a slightly extreme read of it. But yes, the name, it was one of those things that, again, local authority was set up as effectively, you know, a one-person news operation where I thought 50 of my friends would be reading. So at the time, the name just seemed sort of, you know, clever and kind of funny. It's like, you know, we're writing about the local authority and, you know, we are the local authorities. You know, like,
but do people confuse you with the Medway Council?
Yeah, sometimes. It happened more near the beginning, I think.
Because that's a perilous place to be as a news organisation, right?
Yeah, it's not optimal. I'm happy to admit that. I think we have done quite well in the time since in terms of like creating our own identity and establishing it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we are sort of recognized publicly across Medway as being what we are now. Yeah. And it seems okay. But you've still always got that risk. Like when you share a new story on a Facebook group or something, it's just like, well, you know, you're the council. What are you doing about this? You know, it's one of those things. It seemed clever at the time. It probably wasn't a great idea for a name.
I mean, I think two things that's important to kind of highlight amongst that is, again, within the sort of the small world in which we're kind of living. One is that no one ever connected to the council has ever had any issue with us with the name. In fact, they've been very supportive of that. And two, there was a period just over a year ago where we considered a name change and we looked into it. And there were people within our existing readership who were not on board with the idea.
Oh, really?
And so whilst we looked at it in terms of, well, with growth, the new people will be more than the old people. And so, you know, it's worth looking into. But the existing readership, again, you know, it was a vocal minority, but they, you know, were vocal in support of us not. When we didn't change the name, they were happy about it.
So the new title, you got a name yet?
Yeah, but we're not telling you, unfortunately. But it will be a more traditional news name because we're not going to make that same mistake again.
We are changing the company behind the scenes, and that company will have a name which honours the existing title.
Right. But it'll still be you two for the time being. You're not going to need more bodies in the building to do this.
Certainly to start, it's us primarily. I mean, it'll be effectively the same model that local authority works on, in that we are the core too.
Yeah.
But we do have other writers who, you know, effectively freelance pieces for us. But yeah, in terms of the day-to-day running, it remains us for now. The dream is to get to a point where we can have a, you know, small team of people covering Kent.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting to that point.
Nice. Okay, sort of final questions really from me. Earlier on, you said about your inspiration very much being Mill Media, which has kind of proved the model for platform-based, I would say Substack, but obviously they've migrated now to Ghost, based newsletters for local news. But of course, Manchester is not Medway. So really the question here is, how do you need to think about your area differently as like a smaller scale down part of the UK in terms of what you've learned to make this work?
It's kind of an interesting one, really, because I think when I launched this, the only other examples I could find were effectively in big cities, or, you know, it's trying to find somewhere that covered such a small sort of area that effectively wasn't just, you know, one man blogging angrily about his local council was kind of a different thing to this. And I remember in the early days of me running local authority, I even I ended up in a discussion with Yoshi at Mill Media, and he was like, I would have no idea how to operate on the kind of scale you're working on, which I found kind of interesting. You know, there isn't really another example to look to in terms of how people are doing this. I think as we scale up, yeah, I think the lessons we learn continue on, because it's still, even across a wider Kent level, it's still not one central urban area. We're still talking about, do the people in Folkestone care about something that's going on in Dartford? How do we balance the desire for news across those areas? You know, what is relevant on a kind of wider area?
Do you have any parting tips for anyone else considering launching their own Substack local newsletter?
If you're doing this particularly at a small level and you're just an individual who wants to write about your local area, just do it. There isn't really much of a barrier to entry for doing it, because, you know, there's no real cost to get it off the ground other than your time. So if you've got the time to sit and think about this stuff and put stuff together, then yeah, put it out there and hopefully you'll find an audience who are interested.
Worst case scenario, right? It's just your friends and family that reads it.
Exactly. So exactly. Which again, I would have been happy with at the beginning. So it's there's far worse fates than that.
Go on, Stephen.
And be open and, about the humanity of it. Be open about the fact that you are an individual who lives in the area and are wanting to tell these stories, that you're not got, loads of time and crew behind you. You're just someone who wants to report on the area that you're reporting on. People will respond to that. People will respect that. People will, be open to that if you don't pretend to be more than you actually are.
Perfect. Well, listen, I learned a bunch today. Thank you both ever so much for coming on the show and talking to me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jacob. It's been a pleasure.
One takeaway from today is don't lightly name your side hustle. It could get bigger than you think, and then you'll be stuck with it. But joking aside, the model local authority has is one that accounts for a community with very wild levels of interest in and ability to pay for news. I like that Stephen said that being part of the Medway community is as much geographical as it is a mindset. And there you can appreciate that comes with a self-deprecating humour balanced with a need for positivity and champions. But what did you learn today? Let's continue the conversation. I'm on LinkedIn the most these days, or email me on jacob@journalism.co.uk. You can check out the rest of our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the journalism.co.uk podcast. But that's all we have time for this week. I've been your host, Jacob Granger. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.